As we heard earlier in the program, there are high rates of depression and suicide among farmers. This led the Michigan State University Extension to start a behavioral health program for farmers. Jeffrey Dwyer is the director of the Michigan State University Extension. Jeffrey Dwyer, welcome to the program.
Thank you very much for having me.
Please explain a little bit about why we're seeing these levels of stress among farmers.
Right. So in many ways, I think we're in a time period here that could be characterized as a sort of perfect storm of stressors. But I think we also need to remember that farming and agriculture has always been full of risks in many respects. And so it's an occupation, for example, that has high injury rates. It's an occupation that is subject to tariffs, to trade policies, to lots of other things, including commodity prices. And in areas like dairy, we've seen very low commodity prices for a few years now, and we expect that to continue. And then you add on to that the difficulty of the weather that we've experienced in recent months. And it just puts the nature of the stressors and the risks that farmers face really at a level that we become increasingly concerned about making sure we get them the resources and the help we can.
It's interesting because on one hand, I would think of farming as being quite gratifying in that you probably spend a lot of time outside. There's a lot of manual labor, which can be very gratifying, and you're turning out ostensibly a product of some sort, and that can be very gratifying. But then on the other hand, there's an incredible amount of year over year anxiety because you're not sure what any given growing season, or if you have livestock, you might not be sure what any given season is going to bring to the plate, essentially.
Well, I think you're right on target there, and I don't want to minimize that it is gratifying for people, and it is terrific to be outdoors. And when I talk to farmers and those in agriculture, as I had the opportunity again to do just yesterday in the middle part of the state, they are very proud of what they do, and they want to be doing it. And yet, I also drive 30 to 40,000 miles a year in my role as director of Michigan State University Extension. And I see farmers out in the field well after dark, sometimes at midnight, with lights on their tractors, trying to harvest or trying to plant. I see milk barns lit up at 2 in the morning as people are trying to do that third milking. And so it's very difficult. And I think that one of the things we don't think about, and yet you just pointed to very accurately, the risks year over year, financially and otherwise, are tremendous, but sometimes even within the year. And so I was talking to a farmer a couple of months ago, a row crop farmer, meaning corn, beans, soybeans, that sort of thing. And he said something that I think was very profound. He's a small farmer. He and his wife farm 2,000 acres by themselves. And his point was, you know, Jeff, I'm going to put $500,000 in the ground in the next few weeks, and I really have no control over what's going to happen. And I think when we think of it in those terms, we gain a greater appreciation for the full range of risks and stressors that farming and farmers face today.
It's a huge gamble.
Yes.
So how does this stress manifest for the farmers that you're speaking with? What does stress sound like and look like to these farmers?
I think one of the ways that stress manifests that we're concerned about is increases in recent years in attempted suicides and completed suicides among farmers. Farmers and farm workers attempt and complete suicide at much higher rates than the general population. So that's certainly one thing we think about. I think that we also see the impact of these stressors in family dynamics and in professional working relationships on the farm. And so we've worked with families, three and four generation families, for example, that have for their lifetimes worked together, but they're finding the conditions under which they're now having to work financially and dealing with weather and trade and all of those sorts of things is increasingly difficult. And it's also difficult in that generational context in the sense that many older generations hope that their farms will be taken on by the subsequent generations. Sometimes there are younger generations interested and sometimes not. But in both instances, it's a matter of figuring out how to make that work for everyone financially and how to make the transitions and those sorts of things. We're also seeing it, for example, this year with the weather and everything, issues around the timing of planting and the fact that we had many that ultimately had to make the decision to not plant. But then those that got things in the ground much later than expected. And at that point, they had to be considering time to harvest. They had to be considering weather projections, but they also had to be considering things that I think most of us wouldn't even consider, which is they have to think about crop insurance and when is that crop insurance likely to help them and when might it not? And how does that relate to decisions around whether to plant or not to plant?
Does the availability of crop insurance help reduce stress among farmers, especially for these particularly wet seasons that we've seen?
Yeah. So I think that the availability per se doesn't create the stress, but what a lot of people don't realize is that, first of all, there's the decision about whether to obtain crop insurance or not. And mm-hmm. that's like anyone makes a decision about
whether insurance. To spend some money. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah, right. That's not otherwise mandated. But what most of us don't know about crop insurance is there is a date by which your seed has to be in the ground to have the potential to get the 100% payoff if there's a failure. And anytime you then, the days and weeks subsequent to that deadline, you get a reduced payoff even if you have a total loss. And that just becomes part of the business calculation.
Right. You might get a 50% yield. So then you have to make a decision. Am I willing to risk only getting that 50%? Or do I need the insurance and potentially cover all of it and not plant? Yeah, that's a tricky equation to navigate, I would imagine, for just about everybody.
Yes, it is. It's very complicated. Farmers are among the most sophisticated business people I've ever come across in my professional life.
We spoke with a reporter who interviewed farmers who, when they are speaking with people such as yourself, they are asked to check on their neighbors to make sure that they have not, in fact, ended their own lives. That alone seems like a stress that would add to somebody's life, let alone the business that they're struggling with. They also are probably worried about their friends and their community. And I imagine you probably run into people who are facing depression, thinking about other people being depressed.
Well, it's a very good point. And you know, when I talk publicly about this, one of the things I point out is, you know, farmers and those in agriculture are people too. That means they're subject to life stress, anxiety, depression, just like the rest of us. I think the thing we've been especially attuned to in recent years in MSU Extension and programming that we've developed around this, one program called Communicating with Farmers Under Stress that we've offered and have provided to more than 1,500 individuals who work in agriculture, but also a second area of programming called Weathering the Storm, How to Cultivate a Productive Mind that we offer directly to farmers and farm families, is all about really three things that become very important. One is signs and symptoms of depression, of anxiety, of stress, and certainly of people who may be under immense distress and may need some immediate intervention. Secondly, how to communicate with people, friends, family, maybe that, you know, this doesn't come easy to any of us. So if we recognize signs and symptoms that we should be concerned about, what are some communication tools that we might use just to open a conversation and make sure that they're okay or help them if we can? And then third, so that people know some basic avenues through which to refer and gain professional help if they need it. And so what we've tried to do in our programming to directly address the issue that you raise is that I think we all own this. In that it's not just farmers and those in agriculture who need to be concerned about this. We all need to be concerned about this. If you have a friend, a neighbor, a family member that you know always to be clean shaven and well kept, or always on time for meetings or appointments, and those things have started to change, might be worth just a conversation, check in with them, make sure they're okay.
Well, Jeffrey, you're dealing with essentially the patient once they've reached the hospital. How do we prevent the need for the hospital in the first place? Is there something that we can be tackling on the front end that prevents these levels of stress and depression we see?
Right. So I think honestly, some of them are a little hard to control. Commodity prices, for example, trade imbalances in Central Asia that in a secondary or tertiary fashion, you know, impact trade in Michigan. Some of those things are a little harder for us to to directly impact. But I think what we can do is to become aware of the importance of the issue, become aware of the significant role that farmers, farm families, and agriculture plays in our state, and really take on the understanding that we all have a responsibility here, and to reach out wherever possible. I can tell you just a quick little story that to me applies here, which is when we first started working in this area of behavioral health, especially in agriculture, was not something that we have traditionally been involved in. And we really got started about 3 years ago as we began to see this perfect storm develop. And one of our own agriculture educators was very adamant that this was not the right role for MSU Extension, that no one would come to sessions, that people just would not respond to this. And yet, to his credit, he helped us organize a couple of the early sessions. And in one of those community sessions where we were doing some of this training directly to farmers and farm families, a longtime farmer was sitting next to him. And about halfway through the program, this older gentleman leaned over to my colleague and said, "Where has this been all this time? I need this and we need this." And what's interesting about that was it was a recognition on both their parts that just because we hadn't tackled it in this way before didn't mean that it wasn't necessary.
Right, sure.
More important, and I think that what gets right to your question, in that part of the state, that gentleman is now a part of a small group of farmers in that county that meet independently about once a month, simply to talk, check in with each other, communicate, express support to each other. And I think that's very important too, because, you know, one of the things we need to remember is that there remain, importantly, many small and family farms in Michigan. And so at certain times of the year, it can become very isolating because there's just a lot of work to do and you're in the tractor by yourself or you're in the barn by yourself. And I think the basic communication, the frequent opportunity to engage with others is a big part of what we can all do as well.
Jeffrey Dwyer is the director of the Michigan State University Extension and the Senior Associate Dean of Outreach and Engagement for the College of Agriculture and Natural Resources at Michigan State University. He joins us today from the Upper Peninsula. Jeffrey, thank you so much.
Thank you very much for this opportunity.